Blog Talk Radio.
Of Carson's Corner, going strong since 2006 in conjunction with MMALatestNews.com. My name is Bob Carson. I want to welcome the folks over at the Underground Forum for listening as well. And I want to welcome all of you out there, 347-326-9749, 347-326-9749, if you want to call in and be a part of the program. We also have the chat room open for you as well. Welcome to everyone in the chat room. Thanks for listening. We really, really appreciate it. Our guest here today needs no introduction, really, to anybody in the MMA world. Obviously, he's been coming on our show since at least 2008, maybe even 2007. I'm talking, of course, about Mark Pavlich. Let's welcome him back to the program. Mark, welcome back to Carson's Corner.
Well, thanks for having me on, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you back on. I'm not sure if we had you on in the new year, but I know that you've got an exciting new venture that you're fully engaged with at the moment. But before we get to that, listeners of the show obviously know you as a world-renowned MMA promoter, and I have to find out what's going on with you in that respect. We last saw MFC 41 on October 3rd, and it was another event filled with, you know, usual MFC trademark of evenly matched fights that really had a lot of action and a high rate of finishes to it. Since then, though, things have seemed to gone dark on the MFC front with very little in the way of updates or even events announced. Plus, we seem to be deeply involved in new ventures, as I say that from the start. So can you answer definitively for the fans out there, the admirers and the detractors, what's the status of your organization?
Well, Bob, you know, it's funny. Since my last show, you know, I've had – you know, we renewed our TV deal with Access TV and, of course, the Fight Network. And,
right.
You know, it's funny. You know, I've been doing this for almost 15 years. And after the show was over, it was really strange. I was at the post-press conference, and I was standing there, and I just felt like I didn't want to do it anymore. And it was weird, you know, because our family, most people know that we make great money in the MMA business, one of the probably two shows in the world that actually really make money in MMA. And I just was standing around and everything seemed boring to me. Not the fighting per se, but the fighters seemed boring. It just didn't seem like anybody was, I don't know what it was. It was just something that day. And it's strange because, you know, I'm usually the show that knows their, you know, their schedule 2 years in advance, not 1 year advance, 2 years in advance. And I just said, you know what, man, I got to step away from this sport for a little bit to see, first and foremost, if the fans miss me and if I miss it. And that was kind of my thing. It was nothing to do with, you know, it was nothing. It was me. It was just nobody in my staff, Scott Zur, my wife, my son, nobody knew. I just was like, I don't know, man, if I want to do this anymore. I don't know. It just, for some reason, you know, it's a very different business. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they think mixed martial arts and they think, oh, you know, it's a very dirty business. And it's dirty in the fact that, you know, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars still owing to me by super famous names in the MMA world for sponsorship things. I have, you know, contract, you know, fighters that broke contracts that, you know, just for no, it's very unethical business to a lot of extreme, I think. And, you know, I've always run it very straight and very clean. And after a while that started to get to me as well. And it just, I like to do business straight with people. I don't want any kind of, you know, shenanigans going on. And in the MMA world, it is like that. And that's a fact. And anybody who says differently is basically not telling the truth.
So basically, if I can summarize here, some of the factors that have led you to take sort of a hiatus here was just, you know, issues dealing with fighters, sponsorship, people owing you money, and whether or not you weren't excited by the fights, but whether or not you personally just wanted to continue with the promotion and everything.
That's correct. It's not, I always knew that in this business I was going to go out on my terms. I'm not like these other MMA organizations that's borrowing money from banks and hedge fund companies and things like that. That was never the Maximum Fighting Championship. We were self-sufficient, man. We had great sponsorship. We had great TV deal with Access TV. We didn't have any debt. You know, we didn't owe anybody money. It was nothing like that. So people have to understand that. I knew that the day I was in this business that I was going to start on my terms and I was going to end on my terms. I didn't throw out some huge big press conference telling people nothing. You know, the first interview I've done since the October show, I refused probably, no word of a lie, Bob, at least 100 interviews. And Scott Zur, poor Scott Zur, now he's like, he doesn't even know. He's, Mark, what should I tell people? I'm like, I don't know. Tell them whatever you want to tell them. I don't have nothing to say to anybody. And then it's different with you because I know that you're one of the few people in this industry that don't really have an alternative motive when it comes to things. So when it came to your interview, I said, yeah, I'll do it. But other people are, you know, they're employees of that company or they're employees of that company. You know what I'm saying? We know who I'm talking about. So I had no interest to talk to any of those people. When I saw you, it was different. I was like, you know, I'll speak to you. I'll speak to Eddie Goldman. I'll speak to, you know, the old school guys that you know, they have no allegiance to nobody. They call it like they see it. And that's what I was interested to do. I don't want to talk to an employee of that company or that company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm honored by that. I really am. It really means a lot to me. And so basically, are you officially done, or is there right now you're just in a hiatus?
I don't want to say I'm officially done because, you know, I get a spark. I just need something to kind of spark me up again. You know,
yeah.
The funny part is I've had a few people want to buy the MFC, you know, but the number one thing was they wanted to buy it with me running it. And I said, you know, maybe that might be an alternative in the future. You know, I was like, maybe that would be a great alternative. Maybe someone can buy it and I'll run it for the first year to show them how to do it. Because let's be honest, Bob, how many people really in this industry know how to make money like me in MMA? Maybe me and Dana White. You know,
right.
I don't think Scott Coker's making overabundance of money with Bellator. I know World Series ain't making no money. You know, when they come to Canada, their shows, I mean, they're drawing horrible. So I don't know, where they're getting this money from. But the moral of the story is that, you know, we've always been consistent. We were on a, 20 show sellout rate. You know, we went 20 shows in a row selling out at one point. That's it. You know, like we really, our family almost didn't know what we were doing in this business because we treated like professional sport and not like MMA. And that was the difference.
Now, I saw some people claiming that the MFC would no longer be featured on the Access TV network, but I didn't see anything look like that in any way officially.
I'm in the longest show with them. I renewed my deal in January with Andrew Simon. They've been great. There's nothing wrong with them. It's me. Okay, I'm the one that, you know, Andrew Simon, Mark Cuban, all those guys have always been awesome with me. They've always, you know, stood by their word. One of the few people in the MMA business that when they actually say something, it actually is what it is. And, you know, they're never to be blamed for any of this stuff. It's me, the one. I'm the sole person in my company. You know, when the chief and the main guy is not motivated, it's hard for the troops to continue when I'm not the one that wants to continue. Listen, I've had over 100 media requests since the last show. You're the first one I've done. So that kind of gives you a mindset of where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know that I think part of this, you mentioned this yourself, stems from your desire not to be a competitor or imitator of the UFC, but as a viable, smaller scale alternative for fans who don't just want to be, you know, just enthralled with the sport. There was certainly a time when you could argue that the MFC was the second or third best promotion in the MMA world. There's no question about that. And the perception of rankings tended to be based on individual preference to some extent.
Correct.
Do you feel like,
correct.
do you feel like you lost that status with the emergence of other Access TV shows? I mean, it seemed like other
Are you kidding? I could put on a show tomorrow and put my, you know, my boots back on and glove back up, and I would get it to where I need to get it to, right? That's who I am. I mean, that's what people don't understand. I mean, people want to buy the MFC. They want to buy it, but they want me part of it. I mean, that's like having UFC without Dana White. It just doesn't make sense. And that's what people want, but don't be mistaken. Like, you know, I love Access TV. You know, Andrew Simon, Mark Cuban, all those guys are awesome. Kenny Boss, you know, they're fantastic. But don't be mistaken, any of those other shows, that was a thing that really bothered me a lot too, because I don't think any of the shows on Access TV are even on the same planet as the Maximum Fighting Championship. They're not on the same planet roster-wise. They were never on the same planet social media-wise. They were never on the same planet promotion-wise, production-wise, you name it, all of it. None of those shows made money like the MFC, and that's the truth of the matter. Listen, I've been on Access TV longer than any other show on the network. I never once watched one of those other shows. I guarantee you those other shows all watch the MFC.
Yeah, it seemed like, and they position themselves or try to position themselves as UFC feeder leagues, which is something that you respectively would not do.
Declined. Declined that. And you know what the ironic part is, Bob? I had more fighters probably out of any other show in the world go to the UFC and come back to us, but I never played that role. I never wanted that role. It's just inevitably, you know, they ran out financial-wise with me, and their next step was the UFC. People didn't come to MSC and then go to Bellator. You know what I'm saying? People didn't come to MSC and go to World Series. The only reason people came to MFC was because they knew they were going to get the exposure. They knew I was going to promote them, and they knew their next step was the UFC. But I never talk like that. I wanted to always look at my brand as the biggest brand in Canada, one of the largest in the world. I wanted to be the Breitling next to the Rolex. I never tried to imitate them in any way. I tried every way possible, down to the color of the gloves, to be different than the UFC, and that's a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question that you forged your own path, so I can't just see you ever saying, let's do it, to which the UFC is just like the UFC, except not the UFC. I mean, whatever people think of you, there's no question you have your own identity. You're definitely your own person, and that can't be argued. But as fans, do we have to wonder whether MFC is gone forever or not. Like I said, I mean, you're all
doing what you're doing now, and MFC doesn't seem to be a
part of that. In the past, you've spoken about, and you mentioned it earlier, about the willing.
Hello? Hello?
So many questions we have as we grow.
All right, we're back live here on Carson's Corner. I apologize. I had a problem with my internet connection. We're back with Mark Pavlich. Mark, I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear my last question, but it was about selling the MFC. Do you regret at all not having sold the MFC?
You know what, man? I've always been like that my whole entire life. You know, whether it be nice cars that we have in our family, we never sell them. We give them to our kids. You know, I am in the mindset now, though, for the first time ever, to take offers on. But it has to be serious people. It has to be people with a plan to do something with this. To just sell it and let someone burn it to the ground would not be something I'd be interested in. But I am interested now in entertaining offers for the Maximum Fighting Championship. And, you know, my TV deals are still in place, so that's the good part.
That's a very good point. Yeah, exactly. You really built this thing up into a major player from the ground up, so it'd have to be a pretty big, significant amount to buy it outright, I would imagine. I mean, could there be a future for the MFC on Fight Pass? I mean, Pancrase does that. They license all their footage to UFC.
No, I only have the rights in Canada. Access TV has the rights in the States. I have it in Canada. I have the rights when the event's playing on, but Access TV would do that, and I'm okay with that. Those guys have been nothing but fantastic with me. Nothing but.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think it would be great to suddenly have a bunch of quality content like that. I mean, that would be absolutely great. 41 events is a lot, folks. That's 40 events more than most MMA promotions imagine.
Well, don't forget, I had 40 event. I had 42 events. Then I had some unplugged version, like the fight night ones, right? So I've done probably 50 events altogether. And, you know, let's say 40 out of the 50 probably were, so 80% of them were sold out. And my ticket pricing was much different than other smaller MMA shows. My ticket pricing was equivalent to the UFC's ticket pricing. So that's something that other people never really took, you know, into content, because our organization was always a very high ticket price.
Now, I bet over the many events you saw, heard, and activities, you've had some pretty interesting and outrageous things happen. Can we talk about some of your favorite moments from those MFC shows? I mean, what moments stick out in terms of in-ring action?
I liked when Mark Cuban came and signed the deal with me in person. Out of all the shows on Access TV, the only one that he came to was me. And I think that did solidify and verify where I was at in the pecking order. And he came here and we had a great time and a great talk, and he's just a really good individual to know. And that was a big highlight for me. And also, you know, fight wise too, I mean, when Douglas Lima won the championship, was, I just thought was awesome. Ben Henderson fighting here, you know, you name it. There's so many great fighters that fought in the MFC. I kind of remember all those people. You know, I remember the Pat Healy's and, you know, just weird odds of, you know, not winning fights and they won fights, and that's the kind of stuff I remember now. I remember those guys and those times.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a fan of MMA, what were some of the most unexpected outcomes for you?
Pat Healy, Ryan Ford, the two fights. You know, most people thought that Pat Healy was outclassed and outmatched and all that other stuff, and Healy won both fights, which was, you know, absolutely spectacular. So those are things that, you know, kind of stood out that I remember. You know, Ben Henderson fighting here, you know, just the level of he fought here a few times, and, you know, there's just so many fighters, man. It's just like, we had basically counted one time, there were 79 fighters that between UFC and MFC that went back and forth over the years. I mean, that's a lot
wow.
of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about the things that you were least satisfied with? I mean, did you feel like any of the fight results or the fights, the way they played out, were disappointing?
No, what was disappointing for me, what started to become a problem for me was to get the venues, the commission, and Access TV, because I used to have to get all three of them to match up all the time. That was, to me, the biggest thing that started to really get on my patience and nerves, was that was becoming a gigantic problem for me. And to get the commission date, to get the Access TV date, and to get the venue date was becoming almost borderline impossible to match all three up at the same time.
And yeah, absolutely. And you certainly had a very, very good success rate in terms of the matchups you put on, booking fights that were exciting on paper and in reality exciting as well. What results shocked you, if any? I mean, our friend Tom Galicchio really came out of nowhere and made a big splash with
your help. Yeah, he did. And then, you know, Sam Alvey, the things that he did. And oh, my God, it's so crazy. Like, there's so many shows. There's not one moment where I go, that was the one, you know what I mean? But I remember, you know, the great head kick by Tom Watson on Travis Galbraith, and those kind of knockouts, you know, that just stuck in my head, that, you know, Pete Spratt knocking out Nathan Gunn with an uppercut and just face planting him, you know, and I just remember those just crazy knockouts that we've had. And that's one thing that we've always been known for from people. You know, we've always been known for, you know, these guys didn't come here and fight safe. You know, people never came to the MFC to fight safe. They came here to make a point.
What about the fighters who didn't achieve as much as you thought? I would have to say Makai Moromo comes to mind. So much potential in some areas.
So much potential. And then Luigi Fioravanti came here and he got beat twice in a row. And see, people came here and they came from the UFC and they thought, oh, this is going to be easy, you know. And then they found out, oh, my God, this is not easy at all. So that was a big thing that a lot of people started to figure out as time went on. You know, it's like there was a lot of fighters in Canada that tried to avoid the MFC because they knew that the competition was so high.
Absolutely. And do you have any regrets over business relationships that might have soured? I mean, or anything that came out in the public eye? I mean, Ed Soros, Ryan Ford, or anything like that?
I don't really care. I don't care about Ed. But the Ryan Ford thing was really strange to me because me and him were friends when we first met, and I just really unfortunate that how that all played out. And that's something that I don't want to say I regret because I don't feel like I did much wrong in that situation. But how he read it, I'm not sure. But I always thought that me and him would have stayed, he could have went all the way in this sport. That was kind of my sentiment that I thought. So that's something I've always kind of said, that's kind of crappy how that one played out. But,
right.
The rest of them, most other people, I could care less, the Ed Soros of the world, all those other people, I could care less. I don't, everything I've ever said about any of those people is 1,000% true.
This is becoming like an MFC retrospective, folks. I mean, this is your life, MFC.
Yeah, I mean, this is my life in, 15 years of it, right? But, my relationship with Access TV and TSN in Canada and the Fight Network, all those guys, those people were always awesome with us. So, like I said, my mindset is, some of the people in my crew here want me to blast a few more off. And, but I will start. Just as the first time I probably ever said this out loud, I will start entertaining offers for the Maximum Fighting Championship. And, most people, they want me to stay for a year with the company, and I would stay for a year. But if people want to be in the MMA business for real and make money and do it properly, the only people that do it on a level, as you see,
Hello? Mark, I can't hear you. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Good, yeah, you're breaking up there.
Even if you called Andrew Simon tomorrow and said, who's the most organized and well put together show that's on Access TV, he would tell you it's the Maximum Fighting Championship.
Has doing so many shows and spending so much time in the business sort of carved out a particular skill set for you? I mean, how much of what you're doing now would you say you owe to your experience and success with the MFC?
95%. I mean, I started the Mark Consulting Company a year and a half ago, and we're already managing over $1 million in accounts. And that's from the Maximum Fighting Championship. I mean, I got people from all over the world applying to come work for the Mark Consulting. And it's just amazing because, I see what I learned with the MFC over 15 years, and I'm applying it all to my new company, and it's working out awesome.
Absolutely. And we know that Canadians like to watch and sometimes participate in fights. Everyone knows that the Canadian scene could be even much bigger, but why hasn't it become as huge as it could be, in your opinion?
Hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey. Hockey. I mean, hockey is the dominant sport in Canada. No matter how many people tell you, they can tell you 100 times over that, MMA, it's great. Hockey is dominant. We have the worst team in the NHL in Edmonton, second worst team next to Buffalo Sabres. Every event is sold out. Even if they win or lose, they're on the front page of the newspaper all the time. That's how it is in Canada. Canada, there's nothing that's ever going to outdo hockey in Canada. And so you're always going to take a back seat to that no matter what.
We've also heard about bizarre goings-on with Canadian athletic commissions and the like. I mean, as someone on the ground there and a pioneer of the sport in Canada, what's your take on the Canadian MMA athletic commission? I mean, have you
The one where I live in Edmonton, they're fine. There's no problem with those guys. And even when I went to Ontario and I dealt with Ken Hayashi, he was very nice to deal with too. So, I mean, a lot of people talk, but they're not in the industry. A lot of people talk, they don't got skin in the game, So it's easy for people to talk the way they talk because they don't know firsthand, but I do know firsthand. Like I heard people running their mouth about Pat Reed from Edmonton.
Right.
I'm like, why would you run your mouth about the guy? I did 100 shows with the guy. He was very respectful. He did nothing shifty. He did everything by the book. And it's like people talking crap about him. I'm like, why are you talking crap about him? It's not true. Because I dealt with him personally. And if someone was not right with me, I would tell you. But he was right. And same with Ken Hayashi. He got a bad rap in Ontario. People were talking crap about him. I'm like, why are you talking crap about him? I did business with him when I did my show at Caesars Windsor. He was a total professional. He didn't do anything shifty or anything out of the ordinary, like any, like commission people. So I struggle with that. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon when it's not true.
Yeah, I was going to ask you some of the controversies, I guess, surrounding Pat Reed. and
it's
whatnot.
It's like people are trying to discredit him, but he really does have his best. I know the people that are discrediting him too, and I don't know why they're doing it, because I know those people too, and I know them in a good way too, the people that are discrediting him. And I'm like, guys, you know, I'm not going to sit here, because I don't even really talk about MMA that much, but I'm not going to sit here and agree with someone when it's not true. They've never dealt with him. I deal with him many times, and you know, he's a very reputable guy, and I don't care what anybody says. You know, it's the facts of the fact. Do some research on people. The guy work with all kinds of huge organizations in the world. He's a very intelligent guy, and his best interest is in for the sport. You know, his only problem is sometimes he's a little bit too politically correct with people, and he wants to make everybody happy. That's his only downfall. If that's a downfall, that's his downfall.
Let's tell the people at home about your new consulting venture. Was this something you'd set up to replace MFC, or did the consulting business begin earlier and just eclipse your interest over time?
No, my dear friend Ken Franchak, he basically said, you know, Mark, you have such a gift with that kind of stuff, you know, and he runs the biggest glass company in Canada, and he said, hey, you should basically start that business, and that's what happened. You know, we started that business, and you know, it took off, and it took off like crazy. And it was basically his idea. And he's like, you know, Mark, I pay a lot of money to companies that do what you know how to do. And I was like, so, you know, sooner or later we started the company, and we were off to the races.
And this is called the Mark Consulting, right?
Yeah, the Mark Consulting. You can go to markconsulting.com. And you know, we deal with one of the biggest tire companies in Canada, one of the biggest glass companies in Canada, restaurants, you know, million-dollar listing houses and all that kind of stuff. And, it, you know, those type of companies. And, you know, that's, you know, and our policy is, our number one policy is we don't do any business with any MMA companies, and we don't do any business with any nightclubs or that kind of stuff. That's our policy.
Yeah, this reminds me of what I was saying about your strong sense of personal identity. I mean, you seem like the sort of person who attacks new ventures aggressively, and so I expect you're devoting an amount of energy and thought to this that most people simply cannot do.
But you know what the beauty of it is, Bob, is that even in the time I've had off, you know, I've been to Paris, France. I've been to the Super Bowl. I've been to, you know, all these places, and I never had that opportunity when I was in the MFC because I was always just strapped to being stuck to the MFC. The second I took a step back from it, it's like, you know, I started living life again, you know, and that's something I really love and enjoy. And you know, I have dear friends, I have great friends, you know, and to have great friends and to go out and, you know, I'm starting to live life again. And when I was at the MFC, man, I'm telling you, I was in the underground for 15 years just trying to make that the best I could possibly make that.
What sort of services does the Mark provide?
The mark is people call us and we take care of their whole company's social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. We set up their YouTube channels, their websites, shoot all their videos for their companies, do all their graphic designs. You know, that's what we do from top to bottom, but we run it 24 hours a day, not through like automation. We have actually human beings doing it. And that's the difference. And there's very few companies like ours out there. And, you know, those are the things when I had the MFC, I struggled with to find people to do what I was looking for. So I actually formed a company to do that. And all these huge companies started hiring us. And, you know, like, I don't know, it's a great thing. My whole family works for me, and everybody seems super happy, and everybody's got lots of money. And that usually makes people happy. And
right.
You know, that you know, and they're all learning and making things, you know, they're just making people's businesses so much better.
How would you describe your average workday? I mean, how varied is it? What sort of tasks take up most of your time right now?
Well, everybody knows I go to bed like 2-3 in the morning every day, and I get up around 7:45. So I sleep 4.5 to 5 hours a day. And then
right.
Basically, I like the stock market. I go in all my clients' accounts. I have computers all over the place, and I check all their accounts and make sure everything's done. And then, you know, in segments, I see, you know, when my staff starts. And, you know, I can go away to Paris for 3 weeks, and I can check on an iPad, you know, my whole company, what's going on. I didn't have that luxury with the MFC. So that's kind of what I love about this business. You know, I could be suntanning by the pool at the Encore in Las Vegas, and I could check all my accounts.
Do you have any specific focus in terms of industries that you want to target or most effectively?
Now I do. I you know, I have a lot of cool companies, but I really want to start getting into, I want like men's fashion. I want high-end cars. I want, you know, to go along with my kind of my resume with what I got right now. And that's kind of what I'm looking for next. But the beauty about since I started this company, I haven't approached one company. Everybody's approached me. Because people figured, man, if that guy can do what he did with the MFC with very little money to start, if he can help me with my business like that, I mean, I'm dealing with some companies that are $150 million companies. And I'm handling their whole stuff. I mean, people, listen, we have everything from political campaign people calling us now to Christian churches to you name it. Like every genre you could possibly think of is calling us.
How do people get in touch with you or the Mark Consulting Firm?
Well, you go to themarkconsulting.com, simple, and everything else. You know, everything on Facebook and Twitter is at The Mark Company, but themarkconsulting.com. You go themarkconsulting.com, and everything is there.
Is there any advice you can give people listening at home right now as someone who's seen and done it all in the world of MMA, now making waves in the business world in different ways?
Advice about MMA or advice about business?
Business.
Businesses. You got. Listen, man, people talk about passion. Passion doesn't mean anything. You have to get obsessed. And that's why I tell everybody, passion, I always say that too, man. I say passion is for pussies. Passion is a guy that wants to get up a little bit earlier every day and go to bed a little bit later every day. I'm talking, you got to get obsessed. What I mean by obsessed is the only thing you got to do is your business. And you got to get crazy about it. It's got to hurt every day. And when it starts to hurt every day, that's when you know you're going to start making money. But people want to say, oh, Mark, you have passion. I never had passion. I had obsession, man. I had mad obsession for MMA. I have a mad obsession for my family. I have a mad obsession for the Mark Consulting. That's why I've been successful in all these areas. I've been with my wife for 30 years. Why do you think that is, right? Because I have an obsession with her. I love her. She's just the best, you know. I could eat her like an apple, you know. And that's why I tell everybody, you got to have that type of obsession when you do business or you just won't be successful in this day and age. There's too much competition.
What's the most important piece of advice you think people out there who haven't found their personal identity or success story yet need to hear?
Well, I think you got to stop acting like somebody else. You have to act like yourself. You know, no matter who you're with or where you're around or who you're around, you have to be who you are, and that's it. No matter if people accept it or they don't accept it, you have to be who you are and comfortable in that atmosphere of who you are, and that's the number one thing. Don't change for nobody.
Well, listen, no matter what happens, there will always be a place for Mark Pavlich and his insights here on Carson's Corner. We want to thank you again for everything you've done in the world of MMA, and we wish you all the best. Is there any websites or social media sites you want to give out, Mark?
Yeah, of course, themarkconsulting.com. You can come to my personal Twitter page, at Mark Pavlich. And like I said, we're always up. We're always working, so we're super easy to get in contact with.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care, my friend.
Okay, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Mark Pavlich here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with MMALatestNews.com. Yeah, that's great. You know, that's what I love about Mark. He's a straight shooter, no question about that. And he doesn't mind to answer any question that I throw at him. And I have. Believe me, over the years, we've asked him about a lot of issues. A lot of the relationships and fighters and different promoters, and it's been great knowing him. And, you know, I'm honored. The fact that he would only appear on Carson's Corner really tells you something, folks. It really does because, yeah, a lot of people have been wondering about what's going on with the MFC. If you go to the MFC website, it hasn't been updated since October. And you know, the MFC, I believe, started in 2001. And you can't deny the level of success that the MFC has had. You can't deny that the fact that many fighters who have fought for the MFC wound up in the UFC. I mean, Talis Latis, Ryan Ford, Ryan Jimmo, Jason McDonald, Benson Henderson, and so many more that I'm missing. But these are just some fighters off the top of my head that I'm able to remember. Pat Healy, of course. We got to try to get Pat Healy on the program. It's been a while since he's been on the program, probably about 4 years or so. But, yeah, that was great. Great to speak to Mark. We haven't spoken to him since, I guess, last October, but he's on the program, and he's willing to sell, you know, to a company or to someone that's serious about the sport of mixed martial arts. and somebody that just doesn't want to drive it into the ground, wants to try to build on what he's been able to do with the TV deals and the fighters and the reputation and his deal with – he used to have a deal with the River Creek Casino and Resort. I don't think he has that anymore. I think he's with another casino resort in Edmonton, something to that effect. But we'll have to see what happens. In the meantime, we have the UFC coming up. The UFC – Ultimate Fight Night in Newark, New Jersey. Now, people are telling me, Bob, why don't you go to this fight event? Why don't you, you know, it's right in your backyard practically, and it is. I mean, Newark is only about 40 minutes away from where I'm at now. And the reason why I won't go to these events is, number one, the UFC is very, very selective about press passes. To their credit, they have granted MMA Latest some overseas press passes, I believe. But one of our correspondents tried to get into the open workout, which was taking place. There was a UFC open workout in New York City. I don't have the details in front of me, but he couldn't get a press pass. So, you know, it's just hit or miss. It's weird with them. But, you know, this is a pretty decent card. I got to hand it to the UFC, because they're putting on so many fight cards now. Now it's sometimes there's two fight cards a week, and sometimes, you know, it's on Fight Pass, it's on Fox Sports One. You don't know where to turn to sometimes. And so some of the cards undoubtedly have been diluted. There's just no question about that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Last week, I wasn't interested at all in the UFC in Krakow, Poland. I wasn't interested at all in seeing Krokop take on Gabriel Gonzaga. You know, Krokop, who's, what, 40 years old right now, okay? I just wasn't interested in seeing that. But this card I am interested in seeing, and it's in Newark, New Jersey, of course, okay, April 18th, 2015. And we were all disappointed when Yoel Romero had a knee injury and couldn't continue on this card, because that was really – I was kind of looking forward to Yoel fighting Jacare more so than I was the main event of this card, Lyoto Machida versus Luke Rockhold, because Yoel Romero is just a giant guy, just huge, no body fat. He's got, of course, the wrestling and judo background. He's also a huge striker, and we last saw him fight versus Tim Kennedy, and that was a very, very controversial fight. But nonetheless, Yoel Romero won, and you know, this set the stage for a fight between him and Jacare Souza, and the winner of that fight would fight, presumably, Chris Weidman, the winner of Chris Weidman versus Vitor Belfort. So it had a lot of intrigue. But now you've got Jacare Souza fighting Chris Camozzi. Nobody wants to see this fight. I certainly don't want to see this fight. I mean, I hate to sound negative, but it's true. I mean, Jacare submitted this guy in something like 3 or 4 minutes, choked him unconscious, okay? And, you know, Chris Camozzi, who wasn't even in the UFC, and now he's back in the UFC, I guess they couldn't get anybody to fight Jacare. They reportedly offered this fight to Michael Bisping, but Bisping said as of yesterday they didn't offer it to him. But it would have been more interesting to see Bisping fight Jacare than opposed to Chris Camozzi, because if Jacare beats Chris Camozzi, which everybody expects him to do, it's like, does that really put him in line for a title shot? You want the best fighters in your division to fight the best fighters to determine who gets a title shot. And if Jacare beats Chris Camozzi, he's got a way to fight the winner of Weidman versus Belfort. And to me, that's just, you know, not a decent way to get to the title, to get to a title shot. Although I don't want to really frown upon any of Jacare's accomplishments. I mean, the guy is just a tremendous athlete. He's a tremendous fighter. I just think the UFC could have done a better job in getting him an opponent or having a replacement for Yoel Romero. Okay, there could be some other people out there. What about even Tim Kennedy? You know, of course, Tim Kennedy fought Jacare in Strikeforce, but Tim Kennedy, you offer him a certain amount of money, he would have made an intriguing fight for Jacare. Nobody wants to take on Jacare on short notice. I get that. He's a very, very difficult opponent to fight, even if you have a full training camp. But, you know, this is just not going to be an exciting fight. It's almost going to be a mismatch. We expect this to be a mismatch. And that's no real disrespect to Chris Camozzi, again, who's a very, very tough fighter. And he's really a journeyman, no question about that. But, you know, that was just my one sour grape on this card here coming up April 18th. But you also have Luke Rockhold versus Lyoto Machida. And, you know, I think that this is going to be one of these fights that is going to be a boring fight. And, of course, you know, again, sometimes I'm wrong. Nobody's perfect, believe me. But I got to tell you, I think that this could be a fight where Lyoto is just going to move around and you're going to have Rockhold chasing him around and trying to land significant shots. And it could be one of those fights that goes to a decision and there's no clear-cut winner. You know, I don't see Lyoto knocking him out. I don't see Rockhold knocking him out, although I could be wrong. Anything could happen in these fights. I just don't see it. I just think that it could turn out to be a real snooze fest. But who knows? You know, we'll have to see what happens here on this this main event fight. See, and the winner of this is most likely going to fight for the number one contendership, or going to actually fight for the championship as well. So, again, we'll have to see what happens. But you also have some interesting fights, other interesting fights on this card that, you know, people really want to see. And you've got Cub Swanson versus Max Holloway. And Cub Swanson, of course, coming off of the loss, the dominating loss he suffered at the hands of Frankie Edgar. Okay, this is a guy who – that was seemingly a toss-up fight going in. But Frankie Edgar really, really exposed some holes in Cub Swanson's game, and it wasn't a competitive fight. And then you've got Max Holloway coming off of a real, real significant win over Cole Miller, who, by the way, is no fan of Carson's Corner, no fan of me whatsoever. That's okay. I don't take it personal. I'd have to think that Max Holloway is going to be the favorite going into this fight because – although Cub Swanson is a decent strike, it's a very, very good matchup. Expect a lot of strikes. Don't expect a lot of groundwork. Don't expect there to be a lot of grappling in this fight. I think whoever gets the better of their opponent on the feet is going to win this fight. Whoever is able to win in the exchanges, whoever is able to land quicker shots, is going to win this fight. And so I got to tell you, Max Holloway has really been on a tear. And I think he's got to be the favorite going into this fight. You also have some good undercard fights, too, as well. Patrick Cummings versus Ovin St. Preux. You got to think if Patrick Cummings wins this fight, he's going to be a highly ranked light heavyweight, even though there's really no ranking system in the UFC. There's really, really no credible ranking system in the UFC. I mean, who determines how these fighters are ranked? Who determines? We spoke about this with Eddie Goldman a few months ago. There's really no determining way to figure out who's fighting who, who's ranked where. It's all up to market pressure. It's all up to what the fans want and whatnot, supposedly. And sometimes that doesn't even happen. Sometimes the fans do not dictate who's fighting who. Sometimes it's Dana White. It's like the WWE model, as we pointed out on this program. But Patrick Cummings is a real, real, you got to admire his story. You know, coming in, fighting Daniel Cormier, basically working as a barista in a coffee shop, and then goes to fight for the UFC. He was a former training partner of Daniel Cormier, and Cormier beats him, but then he rebounds, and he wins some fights, and now, you know, he's fighting Ovin St. Preux, which I think is a winnable fight for him, considering his wrestling background. And so you've got that on the card. You've also got Jim Miller taking in Dariush, the Iranian fighter, who's looks like a real, real promising prospect. Young guy who's really, really doing well in the UFC. And you also got the women's fight as well. The, what is it, the flyweight or the strawweight? I don't know. I think they're strawweight. Between Felice Herring and Paige VanZant, yeah, both at 115 pounds. And so we'll have to see what happens. We're going to take a brief timeout here on Carson's Corner. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Example in words and in deeds,
show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, and I'm proud to boast I'm one of the many who's learned from the goal to never surrender your hopes or your travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. We raise our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always be known.
Conjunction with MMALatestNews.com. My name is Bob Carson, and we've got some other news in the world of mixed martial arts. Phil Davis actually signing with Bellator. Bellator's got to be pretty happy about this, as does Phil Davis. But, you know, we forget, before I talk about this, I got to tell you, I'm on Nutrisystem now. Those people that have followed this show and followed me since 2006 know that I have indeed struggled with weight issues, okay? There's no question about that. I was over 300 pounds at one point, well over 300 pounds, and, you know, I went through depression, and weight gains come and go. Sometimes I'll lose weight, and sometimes I'll gain weight, and I just have a love of food. There's just no question about it. And so I lost a bunch of weight, and I'm still a lot lighter than I was, but, you know, I started to revert back to my old eating habits, and I started to just visit the drive-thrus more often and just, you know, really kind of put back maybe a few pounds, nothing really significant, but a few pounds here and there. And I was at Walmart the other day, and I noticed Nutrisystem, and they have a five-day plan, something like $40, $44, and you eat nothing but Nutrisystem food. They have ready meals for you. You don't have to really cook. You don't have to. There's not too much preparation, which is what I like, because I don't like to cook at all. I'm not really a hands-on person. I just want to basically be able to unwrap something and eat it. Eat on the go. That's what I do. And so I've been using it for about 4 days now, and I got to tell you, the food is great. The food is very, very good. It's very, very easy. All the meals are color-coded. And in the 4 days I've been using it, I've lost probably about 5 pounds. And my blood pressure has dropped about 20 points. I'm not kidding you. Okay? I have high blood pressure. It runs in my family. And my blood pressure is significantly lower just from eating Nutrisystem over the past 5 days. Now, the problem with Nutrisystem is that it's very expensive. You can get the most basic plan costs you around $300 a month. But I figure what I'm going to do is I'm going to get another five-day thingamabob at Walmart. And then after that, I'll probably wind up getting the monthly thing just for 1 month. And I figure by the time I'm done doing the monthly Nutrisystem plan, I'll be like 20 or 30 pounds lighter, man. You know, I'll be down to my fighting weight at 205, for crying out loud, okay? That's where I'm going. I'll keep you updated for sure. Yeah, I mentioned Phil Davis actually signed with Bellator, and this is good for Bellator because it brings a high-level UFC fighter over to their organization. And it really shows, I think, the UFC that Bellator can be a viable alternative that high-echelon fighters like Phil Davis look to go to if they don't renew their contracts. And it's good. It's good. Phil Davis, you forget what an elite fighter he was. You know, this is a guy who has only lost twice in the UFC. He lost to Ryan Bader in his last fight, and he lost to Rashad Evans a few years ago. But he's beaten many, many good fighters. He beat Glover Teixeira. He's beaten, earlier on in his career, Alexander Gustafsson. He lost to Anthony Johnson in the decision. But, you know, this is a guy who's really an elite fighter. And you've got to think that when he goes into Bellator, he's just going to crush Bellator's top light heavyweights. I mean, you've got Liam McGeary, who just beat Emmanuel Newton in a very, very close decision. And I would think that was back on February 28th, I believe. I would think that Phil Davis has got to be the favorite over virtually anybody in the Bellator organization. But you never know. You know, you just never know. I mean, maybe a guy like Vitor Viana could knock out Phil Davis. Who knows? But I would pick Davis over Emmanuel Newton, and I would pick Davis over Liam McGeary on any given day. Just a quick programming note here on Carson's Corner. We're going to try to get Joey Odessa on the program sometime before the Mayweather fight. Joey Odessa hasn't been on this program since 2008. In fact, we were his first interview when he got out of jail. And he's going to be on the program as well. Joey Odessa is a guy you love to have on the program. He's got his ear to the ground. He knows everybody in the MMA industry. And he's got a lot of personal stories, and he's got a lot of relationships over the years. And he's really, really the best odds maker in the sport of MMA. There's just no question about that. He's a big fan of the show. Joey's always been a fan of the show. In fact, years ago, he even recorded us a promo. We have it somewhere. It was on our old shows, and it was just great. So we're trying to get him on the program as well. You can also hear Joey occasionally on MMA Junkie Radio. That is MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM 92. And I'm sure he does some other interviews, but I'm telling you, everybody's at their best here on Carson's Corner. So a big thanks to Mark Pavlich for coming on the program and discussing the situation with MFC, and big thanks to everybody out there that has listened. Big thanks also to the folks over at MMA Latest News. I got to tell you, MMA Latest News is one of the most active sites out there right now, and Stephen Howson and the folks over at MMA Latest News are really, really giving it their all in providing everybody with MMA content. Up to date, MMA news on MMA Latest News. .com. That is MMALatestNews.com. And look for the Mark Pavlich show to be up on MMALatestNews.com in the next few days or so. So that's it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.